I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Alexa, play 95.7 ESPN.
Playing ESPN Rochester on radio.com.
To me, it is the unofficial start of the NFL draft season, Senior Bowl week in Mobile, Alabama, as we get to learn a little bit more about the prospects. It's like a mini convention, a who's who, and certainly in that who's who is one of our favorites. From the 585 area code, Chris Trapasso, CBSSports.com draft expert. Chris, Gene Battaglia, Steve Hausman, how are you today?
I'm doing pretty good, guys. Thanks for having me on again.
Yeah, Chris, love having you on. Love you know what you're seeing down there. And I guess I'll ask the first question kind of open-ended because you're our eyes and ears here. What has jumped out to you so far here in these opening days of the practices at the Senior Bowl?
Probably the defensive line, which is crazy because a lot of the really hyped and the really good prospects on the defensive line are not here. They're actually juniors. But some of these seniors, especially yesterday in practice on both sides of the, or on both teams, the North and the South, really just dominated the offensive line in one-on-one drills, in the run game drills, and then even in 11-on-11 that were kind of like mini scrimmages. A lot of quarterbacks that would have been sacked, not a lot of holes in the run game. So I think for any team, and it doesn't even have to be in the first, for teams that need to kind of replenish some of their depth on the defensive line, even after your guys from Clemson and your Nick Bosa's, there are a lot of really good second, third, maybe even fourth round players who aren't necessarily going to be buried on the depth chart as rookies. They can come in and be instant impact guys next season.
Bill's coaching staff, of course, is my name is Steve, by the way. Chris, good to talk with you. I listen to the show all the time. I've heard you on before, and I'm very much entertained when you're on the sports bar. Bill's well represented down there, of course. Are their eyes, the Bills coaches' eyes lighting up when they take a look at some of these defensive guys? I mean, can you see a difference in how they're looking at these defensive linemen?
Yeah, what's a really unique feature about the Senior Bowl, and there's kind of an unwritten rule that you're supposed to kind of leave them alone, but the media and all the teams are all kind of intermingled inside Ladd People Stadium, and you can sit wherever you want. There's no, you know, ropes that are walling off media away from the teams, and I sat right behind the Bills. And I mean, I guess I can't say for sure if they seem to be more engaged with the defensive line, but it would be from either practice yesterday, it would be impossible to not come away with the fact that there were a handful of guys on both teams that had really, really good days in the one-on-ones. There were some oohs and ahs, just with some bull rushes, pass rushing moves that a lot of these players, both on the defensive tackle spot and at defensive end, we're using. So I think for a team, certainly, and a coach like Sean McDermott that likes to go really deep on his defensive line, they just had Kyle Williams retire. I think that's, it's not the most pressing need. I think most of those are obviously on offense. I think Sean McDermott likes to have a lot of quality defensive linemen so the guys are fresh in the fourth quarter of games and in December each season.
What are teams allowed to do here? Chris Trapasso, CBSSports.com, because they're watching practice. And we know with the combine, you can set up meetings, and it's extensive for the prospects. How much of that goes on here where there's actual one-on-one interaction? If Sean McDermott likes one player, can he schedule an interview with that player?
It's not as extensive as the combine, and it's a lot more structured in Indy, where there's like 15-minute meetings in specific rooms. But here it's just mostly after practice where the players are kind of open up to the media and to the teams. So it's mostly at the combine where a lot of the one-on-ones go on, where they're just inside a room where they can just talk out, whether it be learning about a player's personality, his background, or just, you know, doing some X's and O's on a whiteboard. So that's really more for Indianapolis. This is more, and certainly I think game film matters more, but this is more of watching these players compete and perform on the field, and obviously the combine is more just watching them test athletically.
A lot of it is watching, and I can try to think of what goes through a coach's mind, a coach who might be in his 40s or 50s, trying to relate with all these, you know, 20 and 21-year-old kids to see how they, I guess, interact with each other. Do you notice how these players interact with each other?
Yeah, I mean, it's really crazy because these players have really only been together now for 2 or 3 days. And you can just see the rapport that they have and that they are all kind of in the same boat. With this, it's an unfamiliar situation. Quarterbacks are throwing to receivers that they've never thrown to, so timing can be off. And even at the end of practice yesterday, Kalen Saunders from Western Illinois, which he's a prime example of another reason why this is a great event, was amazing at the FCS level and had 25 tackles for loss the last 2 seasons. Just was a ferocious player on the defensive line, get this chance to play against top competition. At the end of practice, this guy's 6 foot and 320 pounds. So he's a squatty nose tackle, but he moved incredibly quickly, very athletic. He, in front of the whole team, does a couple backflips in front of everyone, and all the, you know, everyone there was kind of cheering. All of his teammates got really excited. So just to see these players come together in a kind of a difficult environment to really perform your best, to me, was really cool.
Chris, we go back a year ago, and we had nonstop quarterback talk. This year, well, it, you know, our view's a little different up here, but still nonetheless, you had the Senior Bowl director talk about, you know, the talent there. And, I mean, is he accurate when he says the talent is great? Or I forget his exact quote, but he was speaking positively, or is he just trying to sell this week? And then the other part of this question, Tyree Jackson, UB, how has he fared? Where do you think he fits in? What's the opportunity? Because, Chris, I don't know. He seems like he has all the measurables here, right? I mean, all needs one team to take a chance on here early on in the draft.
Yeah, I mean, for your first part of the question, Jim Nagy's been around for a long time. He's worked in team scouting departments, but he is the director of the Senior Bowl, and you're not really going to ever hear that guy go on the podium in front of the media and really bash any of the players. He's not necessarily going to say that every player is a first-round pick here at the Senior Bowl, but the talent in terms of just every quarterback that's here as compared to last year is not really even close. And that's Drew Lock, to me, is probably the best quarterback here just based on what he did in college. But last year, I mean, you had multiple first-rounders, and there was just considerably more buzz, and I think rightfully so. So I think to say that, that this is anything that stacks up to the 2018 quarterback class would probably be a little bit incorrect. And then in terms of Terry Jackson, I thought that there was a chance he would come here as a late declaration, you know, was contemplating potentially leaving UB or maybe coming back. Then he comes to the draft. And I thought that it would maybe be a little bit too big for him. And just like I was saying with, you know, unfamiliar wide receivers, running routes that you haven't necessarily thrown to, his accuracy can be off a little bit. He had a really good practice yesterday. I thought he was the best quarterback on the South team. Again, not a great group at quarterback, but I think for him to have a good first day and show his arm strength, it's kind of pointing him in the direction to potentially be one of those guys because he's 6'7", because he's athletic, because he has the production, could move from maybe second or third round where he probably is right now, maybe into the first round. And wow, it might seem crazy, but every year, Patrick Mahomes 2 years ago was not considered a top 10 pick in January. Baker Mayfield was not considered a first overall pick, definitely, coming into this week last year, Carson Wentz. So there's usually one quarterback that, you know, really shoots up boards. So this week of practice and the game, is where Tyree Jackson, because of his measurables and his athleticism, can really do a lot for his stock. And we could be talking about him in 2 months being like, oh, yeah, this guy's definitely going to go in the first round now. So he had a good start. He's got to have a continue.
Chris Trapasso, draft expert for CBS Sports. You mentioned the depth and defensive line at the Senior Bowl. If I'm watching the game on Saturday, the Senior Bowl, and I'm thinking, gosh, the Bills have so many needs, who are some guys that we should look at? And let's start at wide receiver. Who should we be looking at that the Bills might be able to get their hands on come draft day?
I guess I'll start, or I'll stay with one of Tyree Jackson's teammates, Anthony Johnson. I think overall he's the best wide receiver here. Yesterday in practice, he just showed what he really showed at UB over the last two seasons. He can win down the field. He made some catches there yesterday. He can beat press the line, really physical with his hand, and he's great after the catch. So I think early on in the year when he was really producing at a high level, I think he was probably a late first-round pick. Now, second or third round, and a similar player who's a little smaller, Deebo Samuel from South Carolina, has been one of the most explosive kick returners in the SEC the last couple of years, dealt with some injuries, would maybe have come out last year had he not gotten injured, had a really good senior year. Watch his game against Clemson. He was just fantastic in that game to end the season. He's someone that is kind of a smaller version of Anthony Johnson, very explosive when he gets the ball in his hands, whether that is on a screen or down the field. So those two receivers are probably second or third round picks. If the Bills do have to go offensive line or want to go defensive tackle in the first or the second, they can get great value on those two receivers.
Chris Trapasso, CBS Sports, our guest here, and you mentioned all the depth at the defensive line, and you know maybe at number nine the Bills could trade down, or maybe there's a guy that goes in. Some have him going in the top five. Maybe he goes at number nine. I'm just curious to get your thoughts because it's gonna be a name that jumps out to us. Josh Allen, the other Josh Allen, the defensive end out of Kentucky. What do you think about that Josh Allen as a prospect, Chris?
Really, the more that I watched him this season, the more I liked. He was someone, too, that was kind of flirting with coming out in 2018, decided to come back, actually gained weight. He's 6'5" and 260 pounds. We'll obviously see those official measurements in Indianapolis because he's only, or he was supposed to be here. I was going to say that he's only a junior, but he got invited, but I think he realized that his stock really couldn't improve much by being here in Mobile. He's just someone that has, at his size, has so much speed and bend around the edge. Not really great with his pass rushing moves, which is really my only concern for him. And to me, is the only reason I don't have him as like a slam dunk, like future All-Pro, Hall of Fame type player, like some people do. He is someone that could be there at nine. And with Jerry Hughes getting a little bit older, with Shaq Lawson played better this year, but I don't know if he's a cornerstone at defensive end. The Bills, if they really aren't going to draft for need, like Brandon Bean said yesterday, they could pick him just because of his raw talent and all the production he had. He had 17 sacks this past season in the SEC. So he's someone that just with his size and his power and his speed is probably going to go in the top 10 and could be there at number nine.
It's the season of lying, as I'm reminded here. I mean, how do you are you good at detecting when people are telling half truths or full truths? How do you communicate when you're talking to these execs and some on the record, some off the record? Chris, have you ever taken a half step back and like, yeah, you know, I'm not buying any of that?
Yes, that is kind of how I come away with any of those conversations. And I wish that I could detect, and I'm sure everyone in this field wishes that they knew when a GM or a scout were, you know, maybe telling a half-truth or just totally exaggerating how they view a player. What I've kind of come to figure out, and this is not that I've, you know, anything that I've cracked the code here, but usually the older, more grizzled veterans, let's say, whether it be a GM, scout, director of college scout, whatever, those, like, I think it's almost like a rite of passage and something that you learn over the years that it actually helps the team if you're putting out false information, whether it be that famous draft story that former Bills GM Buddy Nix said that when they drafted Cordy Glenn that entire draft season, they were telling everyone, he's a guard, and then he fell to the second round, he plays for five seasons in Buffalo, and is a good left tackle. So I think that kind of stuff is usually coming from the older guys that understand what they can, you know, what advantages they can create for their teams by putting out misinformation. It's great talking to guys, but you really have to keep everything in mind that it is lying season and it needs to all be taken with a grain of salt.
Are the Bills going to be looking for special teams guys? Are they going to be looking for a punter? Yeah, I know the new coach is down there.
Yeah, and they do have some specialists here. Strangely, last year was like an awesome punter class, and I'm not going to pretend that I spent 10 hours on each guy, but just looking at their production, kid from Texas and a kid from Alabama, and pretty sure they both got drafted like fifth or sixth round, so relatively early for a punter. And there was a couple good kickers too. And this year, I haven't necessarily heard just with talking with anyone, because I remember last year people talking about the punters here and the kickers. This year, not so much. And really, when you think about it, the difference between, you know, the second or third best punter in the NFL and the 20th best punters is not that big of a difference. I think most everyone here is here to watch, you know, the guys on offense and defense.
Chris, one last question here for you is Chris Trapasso joining us from Mobile. The Buffalo Bills are a team that certainly is going to be in need of a running back here, you would figure. Last year using Ford at the end, Marcus Murphy, there's an opportunity there with 10 draft picks. Mid-round talent at the running back position, when we're tuning in on Saturday to watch the Senior Bowl, who are some guys that we should be paying attention to, would you say?
I would say Karan Higdon from Michigan. He certainly ran through some big holes in Ann Arbor. Jim Harbaugh and that staff does a great job with kind of the old school, fullback power plays. But he's someone that does have pretty good elusiveness for being a 6 foot and 212-pound back. He's a little bit bigger. And I think if the Bills do want to keep J.D. McCoy around and have him be that space player and have Marcus Murphy in that role as well, but wanted someone that was a little more powerful between the tackles, Karan Higdon from Michigan, and then his rival, Dexter Williams from Notre Dame. When you watch the Fighting Irish this year go all the way to the college football playoff, you notice Dexter Williams as that home run hitter who also is bigger. He's not as elusive as Karan Higdon, and I don't think his vision between the tackles, kind of identifying where blocks are kind of opening lanes, I don't think he's as good. But once he gets to the second level, he can hit you a 50-yard, 60-yard touchdown because he is that fast. So those two players from two big programs, there's not a great group of running backs here, but those two are the ones that on Saturday a lot of Bills fans should be watching.
The only thing I remember about Higdon was that he sit out his bowl game this year?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, that's the only thing I know about him.
See, we have to pay attention here, Chris. Chris Trapasso, CBSSports.com. What are you working on for the site that everybody can read up on?
I posted late last night my observations from the North team's practice yesterday, and then today I'm actually writing about former big-time recruits coming out of high school who had kind of disappointing college careers that have been given a pretty good chance here at the Senior Bowl to really improve their stock. So look out for that one. I'm actually going to go write that right now, so it'll be up in a couple hours.
So if you were going to be a senior, you can still be eligible for the Senior Bowl?
You have to. Yeah, there was a few guys that on the field were like redshirt seniors, but they were seniors in the classroom. You don't have to be a senior on the field to be here. And really, it comes down to the coaching staff talk to the actual Senior Bowl scouting staff and say, hey, we really want to see this guy. Can you get him here? I think Daniel Jones from Duke was a redshirt junior and had to take like one extra class this semester to technically be a senior and be eligible for this event because he knew he was going to come out. So there's a few exceptions made, but I would say 90% of these guys are seniors and have played 3 or 4 years at college level.
Chris Trapasso, CBSSports.com. Have a safe trip back. Appreciate your time today. Thanks so much.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Chris Trapasso, CBS Sports from Mobile, Alabama.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.